What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to the Full Press Hockey Weekly Show. I'm your host, voice of Full Press Hockey, Jim Berenger, rocking and rolling. NWO is always here. Chris Wassel, Ian Glennon behind the scenes. Get it at Full Press NHL on Twitter, Full Press Coverage on Facebook, Full Press Hockey on Facebook, FullPressHockey.com. Get it on YouTube as well, Full Press Coverage. Lots of stuff to discuss tonight. There's a hot mess in the Canadian capital with the Ottawa Senators. It goes back to last week. It goes back a few years now. Hopefully we'll get Murray Pam from Full Press Hockey off the top. Come on, we're going to break it all down for you. We got suspensions to talk about. We got rumors. We got on the ice action. We got I Told You So segments. It's jam-packed, and hockey is officially back. Chris, man, what a day.
Wow. I mean, you know, Halloween ended, November started, and instantly we had fireworks. Not even like a couple hours after the clock struck midnight.
Right? So crazy. So crazy. And obviously the NFL had its own fireworks over with the Raiders. And this morning you heard that on Full Press Coverage Radio with Ian and John. They do a great job over there. But today, the bomb drops on the Ottawa Senators. I mean, we got the last week we get the Shane Pinto 41 game suspension. This morning we hear about draft picks being taken away, a first round draft pick for the Dadonov trade. And now Pierre Dorion resigned, fired, mutually parted ways. Oh yeah, and the owner, he just was shooting straight from the hip. Wow. Just wow. And here to talk about it all, Full Press Hockey's own Murray Pam. What is up?
Everything in Ottawa. What a crazy day. It's been a crazy, I guess, few days, so to speak. It's a lot. It's incredible news. It was expected today. The other bombshell with Pierre Dorion resigning may not have been expected today. That just adds, you know, to everything that's going on in Ottawa right now.
I mean, got to go back to last week, obviously, Shane Pinto, the 41-game suspension, gambling on sports. I mean, that one, this investigation, and it ties back to what Michael Anlauer said today. Again, when did the team really know this investigation was going on? And were they, like, just notified out of the blue?
Yes, exactly. That's exactly. Michael Anlauer was right in that. The Senators were only notified probably by the sounds of it, either just when training camp started or just maybe a week or so prior to training camp. So that's when Shane Pinto came to Ottawa, you know, to do a skate in advance of his potentially signing his deal. And obviously he left town and he went back home to Long Island. And that's when the Senators actually first heard about it. So that one's on the NHL, because what could have happened is Shane Pinto could have signed his deal. It was rumored to be in the $2.25 million range, and he could have signed it a little while ago, and then all of a sudden the suspension comes down. So I think and Anlauer hinted at it. That's poor on the NHL to do that, and the Senators should have been made aware of it when the investigation was ongoing. I guess the league might have been afraid of something maybe getting out. And Anlauer did say, on the other hand, that he appreciated the privacy on the matter. But I think, in all honesty, that Anlauer should have been made aware by the NHL beforehand in this situation.
Oh, yeah, definitely, for sure. I mean, it felt like today's from watching it, and after I got back from my own press conference, you know, watching it and just seeing it felt like it was really like a straight like shoot from like wrestling. I mean, he didn't hold back any punches.
He cut a promo, basically.
He really did.
He did. And also, and Michael Anlauer is an honest guy, and I don't know if you know any background on the Anlauer situation. Way back, you know, with the Hamilton Bulldogs as well, and junior hockey. He was forced basically out of his building in Hamilton and had to move to Brantford with literally no notice. And he was angry at the city, and he did, he had a little bit of a, I guess, something in public, you know, a fight with the city, which was actually legit. And they just found out recently that that reno is being put off. The base of the building in Hamilton was being renoed, and that reno is now put off a year and a half, which is, you know, so rightly so. He had a beef with the city, and, you know, that's Michael Andlauer, but he shoots from the hip. He's honest, he has an honest approach, and generally he's right in what he says. So there's that. And in this situation, obviously with Shane Pinto, the same thing. He was correct in that. And again, he was correct again today, you know, with the Evgeny Dadonov, losing a first round pick coming down, who's also right in stating he didn't own the team at the time. They waited. The trade was actually made July 28th, 2021. I'm writing a story about that. I just dropped a story to come on to see you guys. And that trade was made July 28th, 2021. The trade with Anaheim was March 22nd or 23rd at the deadline in 2022.
Yes.
And at that time, I remember there's a story out there from Elliot Friedman, the Sportsnet insider, saying there will be no punishment handed down when that trade was rescinded by the NHL. So where that information came from, I don't know, but Elliot did post that in one of his stories, and I believe he spoke about it on a podcast. And here we are, 19 months later, the Senators are being penalized greatly for that. You know, for that move, for the impropriety on the trade call. Yes, there was an impropriety. Obviously, it's been proven. There's a 73 pages of a trade, of an investigation of a trade call, which is kind of insane to believe it or not. But the Vegas Golden Knights, from one of my sources, and it's out there right now, that they just wouldn't let it go. They felt they were embarrassed by the trade being rescinded. And I guess they were trying to get a form of cap relief so they could get Alex Martinez was on IR, I believe, long time IR, is that at the time?
At that time.
At the time of the Dadonov to Anaheim trade that was rescinded. And they were trying to get him back into the lineup. And they were going to take on Ryan Kessler's contract as well from the Ducks. And that obviously fell through. And so they were upset. And as Michael Andlauer actually used the words, they were pissed off. And he did say that in his opening statement. So again, it is what it is. The Senators are punished. There'll be no appeal on this. There's nothing they can do about it. And they'll just have to move on from there. And they're going to move on without Pierre Dorion as general manager.
So real quick, before we move on to the Dorion stuff, do you think, and could you see, because Chris and I have lived this and seen it, because the Devils were punished for cap circumvention with the Ilya Kovalchuk contract and were told that they had to forfeit a first-round pick, and they got it back. Do you think the NHL rescinds this punishment at some point?
It's possible, because it wasn't on Michael Andlauer's watch. He said no today, but that doesn't mean he's going to be, you know, whispering in the league's ear probably at the next meeting, or he's made a call already maybe to Gary Bettman. I could see it happening. But for now, the punishment is what it is. But I think Andlauer should pursue it, because I think in the situation, especially with Steve Staios there as your president of hockey operations, I don't think, I shouldn't say that, but I don't know, but I don't think for me that trade call would have went down as such, with Steve Theos, Michael Andlauer, you know, at the helm.
Yeah, that makes sense. You know, no doubt. All right. And then obviously after the punishment, the big news, Pierre Dorion resigned, but then I saw he was fired, and then it was mutually parting ways.
In ways,
yeah. When I saw resigned, I'm like, yeah, he probably, everybody mutually parted ways, and yeah, he was fired. Was this the final straw that broke the camel's back. I mean, it felt like Dorian wasn't going to make next summer anyway, but was this just like the final straw?
Yes, it was a final straw, and it's a legitimate one though, because it sounds like there was some impropriety made on the call, and it did occur, and that should not have occurred, obviously. The reason for it it's kind of obvious that Senators wanted to rid 2 years of a $5 million cap hit on Evgeny Dadonov. And so it's legit, but also the Shane Pinto situation as well. And with that, the Shane Pinto not being signed all summer, the Senators were obviously close to the cap and they didn't have room for him. So that's also a mistake that's been, I think, on Ann Lauer's mind literally since taking over the team, obviously. And Ann Lauer actually referred to it in a radio interview as the Pinto pickle. So basically that the Senators were stuck with the situation and they weren't able to sign him, obviously, because they had no cap space. Not only they weren't able to sign him, they went into one of this NHL season in a lineup against Carolina on the road, one player short, because they didn't have any cap space available to even fill a full lineup, which again, unfortunately, that falls back on your GM totally. And yes, Tarasenko's off, Vladimir Tarasenko, he was signed for $5 million and he's off to a great start. Let's be honest. I mean, he's put up what, 8-9 points in 8 games
already.
He's off to a good start and great for him and great for the Ottawa Senators. But the Shane Pinto situation should have been dealt with or signed to a contract before you brought in a $5 million contract. And then you could have looked at it and said, okay, what cap space do I have available now after signing Shane Pinto? What can I do to add to the forward core with what I have remaining? And there were players out there at the time. You saw Thomas Tatar was out there. Pius Suter was out there. There was a couple of other players, I believe, out there at the same time who obviously got they got $2 million contracts. There was plenty of money left over and they could have signed another, a depth forward. It wouldn't be Vladimir Tarasenko, a competent depth forward, which with this core that they already have would have been fine. So, but that didn't occur. So with the two strikes, I think that was enough with the loop, the forfeiting of a draft pick, a first round draft pick. That was enough for Michael Ann Lauer to make this decision. And I think what happened, obviously, Michael Lauer stated they went to dinner, I guess, last night with Steve Stamkos. And Pierre, when they were speaking to him about it, he offered to resign. And I think, I believe if he didn't resign, they would have probably relieved him of his duties, so to speak, anyway, regardless of the situation. So now it's on for Steve Stamkos to find a GM at some point. I don't know if they'll probably do some interviews shortly, but I don't know if they'll actually name a GM even during this season. And Steve Stamkos is quite capable of running this hockey team. He did so in Edmonton. Well, he was an assistant in training, basically a consultant with the Oilers. So that's another situation with Ken Holland. And he did not get the GM's job. Went to Jeff Jackson, so he left that organization. And he was also Ann Lauer's right hand with the Hamilton Bulldogs. They won two championships there. And Steve Stamkos was the architect of that, of the Hamilton Bulldogs winning two championships.
Okay, now the inevitable fly on the wall question. Since we've seen so much firing in Ottawa over what feels like the past few days, is DJ Smith next?
No.
I've heard that he's definitely safe for the year, which still blows my mind, granted everything else that happened. But because of all the things that have occurred now, it's almost like, well, here's your free pass.
The ownership, you're correct, Chris. Ownership does have a free pass on this. However, ownership also likes DJ Smith. They like what he's doing with the young core. I'm sure they've spoken to Brady Tkachuk, Tim Stutzel, the younger players, and they all give a vote of confidence for DJ Smith. They all, you know, believe in DJ Smith and his coaching staff. That being said, obviously, if the team eventually does not live up to expectation, and I think the expectation is playoffs or, you know, within, again, like they did last season, 5-6 points at the playoffs, if they get there and they just can't get in, I mean, can you fire the coach? You can at this point, but will they? That, again, that's a decision to be made in the offseason. I don't think, like, I agree with you, Chris, that he will not be fired during the season at all. The coaches are on the final year of their contract, I believe. And the one thing DJ Smith has is the backing of Michael Andlauer's partners. Now, the majority of the Michael Andlauer's largest partner is Rocco Tullio. Rocco Tullio owns the Oshawa Generals. DJ Smith coached the Oshawa Generals to OHL championship. So he is his right hand, and he is his second, well, I guess he generated, or, you know, the most money. It's a partnership to Andlauer. And also, and you recall Michael Andlauer, when he took over the team, he said 6 CHL teams invested in the Ottawa Senators. One of the investors was the owner of the Windsor Spitfires. Also a DJ, you know, a DJ Smith was assistant coach there and cut his teeth to the organization, and was also, I believe, a head coach there at one point. So again, there's ties to the partners of Michael Andlauer, and they support him as well. So Michael Andlauer also believes in Steve Staios, also today believes in DJ. But again, he's definitely going to be there for the season. If they have success, I believe he'll stay there. And if something happens, you know, later on in the season, they'll make a decision. But yeah, I agree with you guys that he's definitely safe, I believe, during this entire season.
Yeah, that sounds about right. I got a feeling like this team is, the way they're performing, I mean, again, they're not off to a terrible start. They're off to a decent start. I know they had a nice homestand. Then they struggled a little bit. But again, like you said, it goes back to the general manager mismanaged cap. You know, if you look back on it, the Gustafson trade, maybe you want to keep him around in your organization, not retaining money on the Dominique Kubalik part of it when you traded Alex DeBrincat out. That could have saved you some money too. So I guess a lot of stockpile and list of things going against DJ Smith. So and Pierre Dorion, and but again, DJ Smith, I've really liked what he's done. It reminds me of what Donnie Granato's doing down in Buffalo. The kids are performing well. But the big question is for me is, like, you look at Steve Staios, interim GM, I believe they named him today. It's similar to what Briere was doing down in Philly. It feels like this may be a test run for him.
I can actually see that. Like I said, Steve Staios was a GM in the OHL, and also he was, the way it sounded, he was GM in training in Edmonton as well, even though it wasn't, you know, said that way. But he was brought in as consultant, and I believe he went to Edmonton knowing the fact maybe that Ken Holland was going, you know, he was going to retire, and he was for the season. So he's a 16-year, you know, veteran in the NHL. He knows his way around. He's quite capable of being a GM in the NHL. So it is possible. But again, Michael Andlauer also said he likes what he called the two-headed monster. So he likes reporting, you know, interesting moves, signing, whatever, with a president of hockey ops, I guess you can say. Or another person, you know, we might name a vice president or somebody, you know, as well, in that situation. But yes, I agree totally that Steve Staios may be that person who's going to be doing that job in the future.
Definitely, I see it. I mean, you know, before, you know, I know you need to get back to your story, but just a couple on ice questions. You know, what's impressed you so far with the team, so far on the ice?
So far, anyways, I guess the They're being able this season. They're being able to roll the lines a bit better, and that I think that's obviously last year without Josh Norris, you had Shane Pinto bumped up to second line, so you're out of sync for most of the season, and this season you have Ridley Gregg who has come basically I wouldn't say out of nowhere. They expected Ridley Gregg maybe even starting Belleville this season, you know, and if I would be starting on the wing, maybe on the third or fourth line. And what Ridley Gregg has done, he's being able to move to the middle on that third line, and he solidified the three lines. Obviously, he's leading all rookies right now in points. So when you have a youngster like that who can slide into the middle on the third line, you have, and it's a legit scoring line as well. You have you have Matthew Joseph out there as well. And Matthew Joseph is playing like the Matthew Joseph who signed for 3 years, $2 million a year, unlike the three goals he scored last year, all shorthanded. He did not score an even strength goal last year. So he already has, what, two goals, and he's put up a couple assists, whatever. He's already, pretty well better than last season already. He's showing it. Tarasenko, again, he's been really good. And you see the other, the Claude Giroux, Stutzel, Kachuk, whatever. So they're rolling. And the fourth line actually has been fairly decent in a checking role as well. So, and also you see the emergence of Jake Sanderson. Probably right now, I believe it was at, I'm not sure the stat, but he was number one in, I guess, in recovering dump-ins, recovering shots from the opposition. He was number one in the NHL on an analytic on that stat. And the emergence of him, obviously, I guess in his second season, also helps out. And the goaltending, I guess, Anton Forsberg, except for the one game, he's back to the Anton Forsberg of last year before he got injured. And Korpisalo, I guess, I don't know if you guys saw the game against Pittsburgh. He got them 2 points. He made over 40 saves. And if you have a 1A and 1B in goaltending, you're set up for success. A lot of teams just don't have that. You have your goalie and you have your backup. Senators really don't have a backup. They have a 1A and 1B, and they have, you can have a steady goalie on every night.
That, to me, the Sens are a team to watch going forward. I know a lot of people pegged them to make the playoffs. It feels like it's their year to do so. With so much uncertainty in the Atlantic Division. Hopefully they can continue that hot start. I know they got a tough LA Kings team coming in to town. LA was very impressive in their win against Toronto, so that's not going to be an easy one. But hey, let's see, maybe Korpisalo gets some revenge on his former team.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting. And you know what, tomorrow?
High octane.
Who's going to start for LA?
That is a really good question.
Yeah, that is a really good
question. They have gone on record as saying, I don't know.
I don't know.
That was the quote. I don't know. I wish I was kidding. I sat there and I asked somebody from LA today. I was like, did coach really say that? Yes.
Yeah.
So that's fair.
It'll be interesting. It is fair. But imagine that'll be like, it could be Cam Talbot, former senator against former King. That'd be an interesting game for sure.
That's definitely going to be circled on my calendar for tomorrow night. One of those games I'll be watching just to see what's going on up there in the Canadian capital. But Murray, thank you for taking time out of your busy day. I know you got to get back to the story, but I just appreciate the time jumping on here on the Full Press Hockey Weekly Show.
Well, much appreciated.
Thank you, Murray.
Much appreciated, Chris. Thank you. Take care.
Hey, take it easy. That's been Murray Pam, Full Press Hockey. You catch it. His Ottawa Senator story is always up there, credited with the Professional Writers Hockey Association. One of our great guests, he always comes on and get the lowdown on the Senators all the time. Man, so much to unpack there, but it's so crazy, right, up there?
Yeah, I mean, it may take us weeks or months or even a couple years to fully understand what has happened over the past, I would say, summer alone.
Right, so it's crazy. The last three, 4 months. Crazy. With the Pinto situation, to Dadanoff, to Pierre Dorion, to, I don't know. It's just so much going on up there. And it felt like everything was ready for them to, like, explode. And like I said, they've played well, but it feels like now maybe with the stuff out of the way, maybe they can get rolling again and play some good hockey on the ice.
At least get the weight off of them.
Right, exactly.
Because it's been this has been weighing on them since the start of training camp or just before. So, I mean, right. you're 4-4 now.
You're still there.
You're still there. Tampa,
it's not like Edmonton,
or the team we put a big circle on as the target, you know, bullseye on.
Right,
has 11 points. It's not like they pulled that far away themselves. No. They have their own issues for the next however many weeks. And maybe longer, because who knows what we're going to see from Andrei Vasilevskiy when he comes back.
Right.
Bad pun. But, hey. Wow.
It's
French,
crazy.
French spam.
Oh. Yeah, French spam. Well, who knew?
Wow.
But it's crazy, right? Because, like, you have to wonder when all this stuff went down. Like, speaking with some people, you're like, you know, when did this really go down? And what did Pinto really do? And again, you know, speaking with Gary Bettman today at the stadium series press conference, you know, he reiterated that there was no evidence that he bet on NHL games, which is a good thing. But I know, as he said as well, everybody wants to poke and pry and figure out what happened, but the mechanisms were in place, you know, like it's crazy. It really is. No one really like truly knows what went down, and it's hard to speculate, but it is a very interesting situation.
It's tough because from how do I put this? From what we heard, and it depends. And again, this really does depend on who you believe. Because let's be honest, when you start digging into gambling this and gambling that, you're right. Going into a strange set of bedfellows.
Right.
Put it this way: anybody who knows or has been down to Atlantic City too long,
Chris,
maybe me,
Chris.
You get to know some characters that are definitely not on the up and up when it comes to things.
No.
But they tend to know things that no one else does.
Right.
And one of the things that does resonate here is, ironically, how GeoComply plays in all of this. There was somebody that made a bet, at least. That's what the NHL has as evidence, from an account. Whether it was from
Pinto
himself or somebody he paid off. So evidently there's a money trail of some sort, whether you want to believe that or not. There's some smoke at least to this. Does it rise to the level of a half season suspension? We may never truly know.
But as Gary said today, as Mr. Bettman said today, it could have been a lot worse.
And that's the thing. And that's where you have to be careful as league, player, management, et cetera, because it doesn't take much.
No, it does not take much.
We've seen it where officials and such, and there's a person that's still employed as an NHL coach now that ran a gambling ring. Wandered money.
Mm-hmm.
And that creates its own can of worms because, look, those questions aren't even going to go away. So imagine what happens here with the Shane Pinto situation. As quote-unquote less egregious as it may be because of all the things that have happened with Ottawa over the past, say, few weeks to few months.
Yeah, exactly. It's crazy. I know. It's so nuts that what's going on. And, you know, with the Ottawa Senators, you just got to hope that everything works out. You know, seems like things are falling into place. Again, we're probably never going to know the full story. There'll be a book come out later about this whole thing. That's when the truth will really come out and the real story comes out. We know Pinto owned it. We know he did. He apologized. Team apologized. NHL issued its statement. So we got to take it for face value. The mechanisms worked and whatever they have in place worked. So they know what the rules are and you got to just abide by them. Speaking of abiding by the rules, yeah, the suspension have been handed out to me have been really good this year. In fact, there have been a lot harsher than in years past, shall we say?
Yeah, the paltry fine is a thing of the past almost.
The one-game suspension for a hit to the head is kind of gone. Rasmus Anderson, Charlie McAvoy, and Connor Clifton have been suspended.
Yeah.
Clifton for 2 games for his illegal check to the head on Nico Hischier. Rasmus still out and will be out for a while. He's not making the road trip.
At least week and a half.
He's day to day. Should have never gone back into that game against Minnesota.
It's another issue in and of itself.
Another issue in itself. Was it the Minnesota game or it was the Buffalo game.
It was the Buffalo game.
He should have never gone back into the Buffalo game because then he got rocked again. Once he got the hit from Clifton, they should have kept him out. And then when he came back, I was very surprised and he got rocked again.
Yeah, because remember, he also got kind of not rocked, but sort of thrown awkwardly into the boards against the Islanders.
Right.
So, you know, all these things, neck, head, this starts connecting.
In a less than a week and a half time period.
Yeah, I mean, look, we all know what happened with Sidney Crosby a few years back, where basically
he missed,
went in, got hit, and then 3 nights later, we all know what happened in a certain outdoor game, and we didn't see him again for the rest of the season.
Yeah, and then it took him a while to come back
even from that.
So you got to be careful with that stuff. Rasmus Anderson with a stupid hit on Patrick Laine. Laine's not even back in. He had another setback.
I mean, I don't know when he's going to make it.
And that was just a stupid play. That's not even a hockey play with that much time left. There's no defense for that. That's just dumb. That's just dumb hockey.
He's lucky he didn't get something like double digits for that.
Only got a phone hearing.
Should have been in person.
Same with McAvoy. McAvoy's probably should have been in person too.
Yeah, but you know what? They hope they sent a message with 4 games. It was more than what I expected, to be honest. When I see in person, I was figuring two, maybe three.
Yeah, but when I saw four good enough.
Okay.
Four's fair because of the hit on Oliver Ekman-Larsson. Not to mention, you know, he put himself – now he's put his team even worse defensive problems because Matt Grizzlick's hurt. So now that you're out two good defensemen.
Yeah. You're at least for the foreseeable future.
Right, and Toronto comes to town, so, yeah.
No. And Toronto's not going to be ticked off after losing to L.A. at home.
Right, exactly. But, again, I don't want to see statistics that teams really well. Yeah, they're bucking the train. No, there's no bucking the trend. You have a long road trip. First game back from a long road trip, you're losing. It's money in the bank.
Yeah, you didn't bet the – you didn't bet the under in that one. Feel bad for you. It's just one of those things. It's not on the team. It's not on the players. Not coaching staff. It just sometimes happens where a team comes off that long of a road trip and they just lay an egg. And you got to give LA some credit. I mean,
they played well.
They played a good, solid game. I mean, that game wasn't just 3-0 in the third period by chance.
No, they rolled 4 lines. They have 4 lines of scoring. They got good defense. They got a lockdown pair with Mikey Anderson and Drew Daly. Talbot played out of his mind. Power play was connecting. Deneau's still a Maple Leaf killer. Dubois played well. Like, everybody played the way they were supposed to play. And right. They locked it down on Toronto, and Toronto just laid a big goose egg. And look, the fact of the matter is they're getting more suspensions. They're getting a little harsher because these heads to the head can't happen. So at least we're not, I think you'd rather go longer than shorter, because at least the longer it sends a little bit more of a message, which you hope it does.
Right. There's something to it, at least, where let's be honest, the last few years, you just kind of look, oh, that guy got, ooh, that looked like it hurt. And then you went, player A got,
what?
Fine.
Yeah, fine. Exactly. Yeah, fine.
For that. But player B, who did far less get suspended 3 games for. Okay. You don't have as much of that this year. Is it perfect? Is it ever going to be?
No, exactly. It's the toughest job in the world. It's the most critical size job in the world.
You can't be right no matter what you do.
Right, exactly. You can't be right no matter what you do. But it seems like the suspension seems to be a little bit more. Before we get to the rumors and then the thing on the neck guards and all that stuff, which will be in there, it's the I Told You So segment. Mm. Nicholas Backstrom, we hate this. Like, look, this Nick Backstrom is a great player for Washington. Great player. The assist machine to Alex Ovechkin. But he today, via the Capitals, announced that he's stepping away from the game because of the surgery to his hip. You kind of had a feeling this was coming. He hasn't really played well this year. He didn't really play well last year. He maybe should have retired again. Hard to do as a pro athlete, step away from it all. If you thought maybe with the time off. At his age, with the hip resurfacing surgery, he just didn't look like the same player. And it looked like a struggle out there for him. And I got a feeling he might be done.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. I mean, this is far more grave than even say what John Carlson went through last year.
Right.
He had literally a hole in his head.
Right.
And skull fragments that were, well, let's face it, they weren't there.
No.
This is far different. For those that don't understand the hip resurfacing surgery, Murray even knows about this too. Obviously, what we've seen with some former Ottawa players who have had this done, and you combine Backstrom's age, unfortunately, with the amount of wear and tear that's been on his body. Because let's face it, I mean, they played a lot, a lot of mileage. He stayed a
lot of mileage.
This is a guy that, for the most part, far from you can't put that injury label, or say, hey, so and so is injury prone.
Right.
He's almost 36. So let that sink in for a second. Yes, the last few years have been rough, post COVID. But then again, yeah, I mean, you kind of have to expect that. But I mean, Jim, to be honest, for a long, long stretch, this guy was about as healthy as you could be.
Yeah, I mean, the only other thing, the only real problem was he didn't get his medal from the Olympics because of allergy medication.
Achoo. Kusintai. But I mean, yeah, I get it. The last few years, yes, it's been rough. He's missed time here and there. I understand that. But this, when the hip goes like this, usually, it's the toughest thing to overcome.
And as a hockey player,
look, for him that be able to even get on the ice
was this miracle.
It's quite the accomplishment. It's true. Were you rooting for him?
Absolutely.
I don't care. I don't care what team you're a fan of. These are players that you're not going to probably see for a long, long time that play the way Backstrom does. The way he thinks the game. And that's rare in today's NHL. It's not to say the players are dumb. It's just never to say that. But he plays the game a different way than most.
Right.
Younger players do. And he even played that way when he was in his early 20s. And Alex Ovechkin said that as such today, basically, where it was like it feels like we lost a part of our identity.
They did. And, I mean, he was feeding Ovechkin pucks all the time.
And, like, yeah, and the other thing that Ovechkin said, it's you're watching more than just a teammate. You're watching somebody that you care deeply about,
right,
on the ice, that's suffering on the ice and suffering off because of what he can't do on the ice that he used to.
Right, which is tough. And you got to wonder, and this is where, where it comes in with Patrick Kane, is he's had the same surgery. I know he's younger. the videos look good and all, but come a game action, can he do it?
Don't know.
We don't know.
We haven't, let's put it this way, we haven't really seen anybody that has gone through this get to a level close to what they were. And I guess until we do, we're in as much as in the dark as anybody.
Right, exactly. Exactly. We're really in the dark. We really have no clue. And we're going to see if Patrick Ewing can come back from this thing. And we're going to see where he lines up. Buffalo, Dallas, LA, maybe Carolina.
Which month?
Which month? Detroit. Could he, where is he going to go? Does he have to take a conditioning stint someplace? I mean,
I'd have to think he has to take some kind of conditioning stint or, I mean, you know, maybe they come up with something innovative where they come up with here you go, Jim, the simulated game.
Yeah. The simulated game that we know of baseball. Yep.
It would be interesting to see it. I've seen it with, I think it was Claude Mew, maybe. I want to say maybe 2000, just before 2000. Yeah, 2000. Maybe, yeah. It was in that range. It wasn't that little Phoenix stint or whatever.
No.
Phoenix / Arizona stint. But this was with the Devils, actually, where Lou trades for him, and he's like, he's out of shape.
Yeah, you got to get him back in shape.
You got to get him back in shape. So it was called a practice. I love hearing these stories because they're as funny as anything. And it's like, remember one or two guys going, oh, we just bag skated the hell out of them before and after. And it's like, if it's assimilated, oh man, you don't even want to think about it. Anybody who's even played the sport at any level
knows. Yeah,
you just sit there and go, they did what to him?
They bag skated the hell out of him.
Oh, okay. All right. That's really bad. And it's not to say that this is going to happen with Patrick Kane, but he's definitely going to need at least some kind of extended conditioning stint. Whether we know the extent of that stint, again,
no. We may not know what it is,
but you got to think something's going to.
It has happen to. It has to. It's going to be like Pinto as well. Like when he comes back, he's going to probably be
half
down
a season plus.
He's going to be down in the AHL for a little bit. Maybe he doesn't even see the NHL this year. If the Senators are close, they might bring him up. But again, he's going to need some time to get back to shape. And so it's the game different, especially when you miss a half year. I'm just saying. Big difference. So it's going to be interesting to see there. Obviously, everybody saw the news over the weekend, the tragic passing of Adam Johnson over in England with getting cut in the neck. Very scary situation. Tragic situation, and you know, it's brought up the topic of neck guards in the National Hockey League. Obviously, we just saw the WHL mandate them. The English Hockey Association has mandated them. We know right now it's up to the AHL. The players have the right to choose to wear them. The NHL, same thing. Players can do whatever they want. But it seems like we're getting closer and closer to that. And again, it's going to have to come from the PA, and it's going to have to come from the NHL to agree upon it. They're going to be looking into those, a lot of cut-resistant stuff, too. Obviously, the AHL players have to wear cut-resistant sleeves on their wrists and on their socks down by their tendons.
Yep.
And I think that's where it's probably going to start first. I think they're going to mandate it there first, give it a test run, and then it'll come up. Yeah, see what happens.
And look, the Kevlar works. There is no question that it works. I know because a few years ago I had it happen to me. And the Kevlar held. It tore in a spot, but it held enough that my ankle did not get cut. All I saw was my pearly little white scar from when I broke my ankle when I was in high school. That was it. The most important thing is nothing was hit, no tendons, nothing like that. There was I would say maybe a 2-inch scrape. That was it. It didn't even draw blood. So if you think about somebody that's skating at about even say 12 to 15 miles per hour, never mind 25, 26,
right.
If you see the McDavids of the world or McKinnons, et cetera. But even half speed, half that speed, If a blade can do that, imagine what a blade does twice as fast.
Exactly. Exactly. And again, it's a scary situation. And we saw some AHL players wear those neck guards. Obviously, USA Hockey mandates it at the youth level.
Yes, they do.
And it works. I know that for a fact because I ref USA Hockey, so I know you have to check. And nobody will disagree this weekend or during this week about the neck guard check. This is the one thing everybody will agree on this weekend.
Yes.
No one will argue it. Nobody will argue it. But it's funny because, like, you think about it, they just need to get things in place. Again, they're going to talk it out. They're going to get the products in place. But it's coming. I got a feeling it's coming. But again, it's got to work with the players, and the players got to work with each other to get this done, because I don't think anybody wants to see a tragic accident happen like this on anywhere. And, you know, all the leagues are going to do it right. And look, if the WHA did it, you know, a WHL did it, you know, the OHL, Canadian Hockey Leagues are going to do it, the Q. And I wouldn't be shocked if, like I said, the AHL, ECHL, everyone down the line, just say, hey, guys, just wear neck guards just to protect so we don't have – we're not saying it's never going to happen again, but we can reduce the probability of it happening.
Yeah, you're basically reducing anything inadvertent that could happen during a game. I mean, there's other matters, what happened, unfortunately, over in England that are up for a lot more of a considerable debate, and that's something that – hopefully, you know, the league, and if it gets that far, the justice system, you know, gets through what is going to be at best a very murky and unfortunate case.
Absolutely,
that should not have happened.
No, exactly.
I mean, that's something that everybody can agree on at the very minimum. What we remember Adam Johnson for, of course, is not just the goals he scored off on the ice, but, you know, his impact off the ice as well.
A lot of
stories that poured in that, you know, fans don't typically get to hear about that they got to hear about. And you, never mind as a fan or media member or anything of the such, just as a human being, you never want to hear it. Because when you hear that, it means the person sadly has passed away or stopped.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So look, it's tough. It's a tough situation. No easy transition to do this. And before we get out of here, I know we got a couple of minutes. Just a real rapid fire surprises real quick for me. I'm going to go Montreal, Vancouver, Anaheim, and Arizona. If you want to pick any more teams, you can throw in there, Chris, but I'm really impressed what Anaheim's done with the players that they've put together, the winning streak. Arizona's just a fun team to watch.
Arizona scores goals, ladies and gentlemen.
They do. Anaheim scoring goals. Frank Vitrano had back-to-back hat tricks. Anaheim, what they're doing and the Leo Carlson stuff is crazy, but they seem to win. Now we're going to see if it continues because John Gibson's hurt. What else is new?
Hurt in Pittsburgh.
This is new. Exactly.
This is the third time that he's got hurt in some form playing in Pittsburgh, which, by the way, he lives once
in
lived,
Pittsburgh.
Not too far. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Something rough. Obviously, some other surprises. Look, I hate to mention this about as much as anybody else. I don't know how long it'll last, but the Rangers are playing some pretty impressive hockey considering the road trip they were just on and the ways they found the win.
I'm taking Carolina tomorrow night, though.
I agree there. Carolina looks pretty good. Svechnikov came back. He played about 14, 15 minutes, mostly power play and perimeter time. But you, by the end of that first game, you could start to see the old Svechnikov kind of, you know,
come back,
bubbling to the surface. You know, it's going to take some time. There's going to be some up and down parts to his game, but man, you saw the difference with Carolina with him in the lineup as opposed to
that's another
issue. It's like, can you stay healthy? Can your goaltending healthy? Can you? That's the problem with Carolina. You need a whole lot of bubble wrap.
And are we surprised that Pittsburgh's struggling?
they have moments. And we kind of said that at the beginning of the season. Right. We're going to have moments where you think, maybe, maybe, maybe. And then it's like, oh.
No.
Oh,
they
oh
still
boy.
Can't beat bad teams. They play up to their competition. And yep. That's the way it's going to be. And I'm convinced Kyle Dubas would have ran.
There's no doubt about it. The other, I guess, I don't know if you want to really want to call this a surprise, but Tyler Toffoli contract year.
William,
it's
Nylander
kind of
contract
a, it's, eh, that's the great question. I mean, look, everybody thought after the 70 plus point season that he would take a step back, and he still could, obviously, but the start and who he's playing with and how they have gelled.
The ghost of Halloween with that phantom assist.
That was a mystery, wasn't it?
Right?
For folks that do not know or did not watch, it is like the goal that got sort of passed around like a human pinata. Just saying.
Yeah.
Strange tales of that and the devil still not being able to score an empty net goal when you really need them to.
Dawson Mercer, what are you doing, man? On your birthday, no doubt.
Hey, look, I guess some good news, because one of the top games tomorrow, I know it doesn't seem like it on the surface, is definitely going to be New Jersey going back to Minnesota.
They're all home and home with a couple of days off.
Home and home, and guess who's back from Minnesota?
Matthew
Boldy got the green light today. He's playing tomorrow. We're back to under 100 injuries, which is progress in the NHL, ladies and gentlemen. So, of course, I'll say that, and then tomorrow we'll have more injuries than we can count. The injury ninja.
Oh, the injury ninja.
But you know, again, not a bad start for the first 3 weeks.
Right. Again, I think I'll probably bring them out next week for the way too early power rankings. But again, it's. Yep. No, we're not even 20 games into this thing. But again, we know Vegas is good in the West. LA is impressive over in the East. You know, Montreal's not going to sustain this. Flyers are not going to sustain what they're going to do. You never know, though. But we'll see what happens. It's been an interesting start to the year. It's been a fun start to the year. And, you know, just keep your eyes on a lot of things, because there's a lot of moving parts. Devil's power play is really good, too. Troy's power play is really good, too. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, am I correct to say Jonathan Drouin's a scratch? Is Thomas Tatar also a scratch for Colorado?
I had heard something to that effect, yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So something's awry there in Colorado. But, you know, we're getting close to that 9 o'clock hour. And we just want to thank again Murray Pan for taking time out of his busy day, out of his busy schedule tonight to hop on. Few minutes with us to talk Ottawa Senators, the whole Pierre Dorn situation, the Dadonoff situation, Shane Pinto. This has been another edition of the Full Press Hockey Weekly Show. We told you had a jam-packed effort show. We try to get it in for you as much as possible. I've been the host alongside my co-host Chris Wassup, Jim Berenger, voice of Full Press Hockey. The NWO always rides here in the Full Press Hockey Weekly Show with Ian behind the scenes. He always does great work. Get it at Full Press NHL on Twitter, Full Press Hockey Facebook, Full Press coverage on Facebook, Full Press coverage on YouTube, iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast. I enjoy the rest of the regular season. A lot of hockey. Thanksgiving's right around the corner as well. Third time is always a good thing. And next week, I will be up in Toronto for the Hockey Hall of Fame induction weekend, so that's going to be a fun one. But we'll try to get a show in, jam one in before I have to leave for induction week. So, guys, I hope you enjoyed this episode. Get it again, iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast. Chris, thank you so very much. Ian, thank you so very much. And Murray, once again, always the best. Check his coverage, his items out on fullpresshockey.com. Take care, everybody, and have a good night. Hello.